The thing that really gave me the fire to get going was not this data overall, lots of great data points, but the one thing I was worried about maybe just a little bit was how is Napa perceived among our competitors?
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to grow membership engagement and non-dues revenue to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. In today's episode, we are focusing on how to successfully reimagine a communications program with the primary goals of connecting with members and driving non-dues revenue. Joining me today is Bill Rowan, the Senior Director of Communications and Marketing for NAPA, the National Asphalt Pavement Association. Bill recently led NAPA through a comprehensive assessment and overhaul of its communication program, including a rebranding of the association. He will share with us how listening to stakeholder feedback and focusing on data-driven decision-making has led NAPA to a more member-centric communication strategy. Bill is a big-picture thinker who also knows that the small details are what sometimes matter most. He is also a proponent of the concept of Kaizen, which is a Japanese business philosophy that emphasizes continuous improvement and change for the better. I'm excited to learn more, and I know you are too, so let's get started. Welcome, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of the Association Advisor. So happy to have you here with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Christine.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen each other. But you know, Bill, what I want to do is start by telling our listeners a little bit about your professional journey. You started with designing ads for the Yellow Pages. I think some of our listeners might know, but some people might be like, what the heck are those if you're a Gen Z, right?
Yeah.
But then you've gone from that to working in marketing and communications across a number of industries as well as associations. So we want to hear a little bit about your journey and how it led you to your current role at NAPA.
Yeah, those Yellow Pages are a flashback. Go 90s. They're having a moment now anyway, the 90s, yeah. That is. So I actually got interested in the communications field by working on my high school yearbook back in the days of literal cut and paste.
Love it.
And that's what inspired me to major in communications. And the Yellow Pages were my first job out of college. We saw during my time there the launch of email for business and websites. So the last role that I had there was building websites for Yellow Page advertisers.
Wow.
Fast forward a few years, I moved to DC to take my first association job in the fall of 2001. And that introduced me to this amazing field that we are both a part of, that Naylor is such an integral player in. However, I didn't stay there. And so I've dabbled in some other things, getting B2B experience, B2C, even as a government contractor. And really now NAPA is my third association.
Oh, wow.
Over the span of those couple of decades. I've been here 3 years and always in the MarCom field. So it's a great place to be and great to work with partners who elevate that.
Oh, well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. And likewise, I mean, obviously working with associations is what we do, and we love it when we have people like you to work with who are very passionate about it. So Bill, you know, the one thing though, I'm absolutely going to ask for that high school photo so we can put that somewhere. That would be fun, right? We should collect those. But it's interesting because I started on this side of the business in the year 2001 as well. So between Yellow Pages and high school, I think we've just revealed about our age of people aren't
right.
But anyway, so you've been with NAPA a few years now, as you mentioned, 3 years, but the past 12 months in particular, you've done a lot of changes. In fact, you led the association through a comprehensive overhaul of its marketing communications program. Tell us a little bit about that. And more importantly, What made you become aware that it was time for that sort of strategic shift for the association?
Yeah, when I came on as director of communications 3 years ago, 2021, still in the throes of the pandemic, I was rebuilding the entire department. So that the Naylor products and other associated communications products are all critical to what we do in the communications department. And a lot of them had existed for a while. As organizations, especially associations, grow, things sometimes tend to splinter a bit. So we weren't being really efficient in our content use across all those properties, how all those properties looked and interacted together. And members still loved all those products, but I saw an opportunity to make them better. So that was what drove me was, this can be better. This can be award-winning. And the process behind it can help drive that.
Yeah. It's great that you always want to do better, right? Like that's what we all want. But, you know, getting back to how you did that, I know you conducted a strategic communications gap analysis that you assessed members' needs and preferences, which led to data-driven recommendations. It wasn't just you woke up one day and said, hey, there's some like data that went into this. So tell us a little bit about what that process looked like and how you feel it played a significant role in the decisions you've made.
It was so instrumental. I was here for a year and a half or two before we embarked on that project. And I've got to thank Sarah Sane at Naylor for being such an incredible partner in executing the gap analysis project. Leading up to it, we knew there needed to be change. And I had hunches about what the changes could be. I had ideas where I wanted things to go, but I didn't have data. And that really did serve as such a critical piece of the whole plan. It ultimately confirmed some of what I wanted to do, but also gave me some new ideas and really showed what the whole landscape could look like if we embraced it. And I'm, of course, referring to the publications landscape, but it really gave us some insight into what members think about the organization overall, how trusted NAPA is. It was a really amazing exercise. The response that we got, well above average for something like that, 6-point-something%. So kudos to all the marketers and survey designers for making that happen.
Yeah.
The thing that really gave me the fire to get going was not this data overall, lots of great data points, but the one thing I was worried about maybe just a little bit was how is NAPA perceived among our competitors? Because although asphalt pavement is a niche industry, it's a very vibrant industry. And so there are other publications, other media, and the gap analysis showed us that despite that sort of crowded space in a niche market, NAPA resources were preferred over all competitors by nearly 2-1.
That's amazing. You know, and Bill, I'm glad you're talking about that because I think oftentimes we're sometimes afraid of asking. So I have an expression, it's not mine, we've all learned it, like don't be a focus group of one, meaning, you know, you have your ideas and things, but then you're almost afraid to validate it. And what's great and what you described is you were brave and bold enough to say, yep, it's not going to be just based on my hunches. Not only did it affirm, but probably delight you in some ways that it was probably even better than you imagined, but it also gave you some different ideas and new ideas. And I think that's what the message for me to listeners is, don't be afraid of data. And even if it doesn't have a happy surprise, it gets you to focus on the things you need to focus on and it takes the guesswork out of it. So kudos to you for doing that and taking the association through that process. That's amazing.
Sure. And you know, Christine, that associations and other nonprofits really don't ever want to kill the sacred cow.
Of course.
But it also gave us the data to do that for areas where we could reimagine a product or sunset a product that was no longer serving our members. And we were able to capture the data and then use the data to get member buy-in.
Yeah.
And then reimagine what comes next.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, and also let's talk about the fact that you didn't just do an overhaul in the communications and marketing. It coincided with an association rebrand. So talk about a little bit about what that's like. That's part of your wheelhouse that you've done. So talk through what that is, and then what priorities do associations specifically need to think about if they're going to undergo a rebrand like you did?
Well, there's no sense in doing just one big project at a time, right?
Of course, right? Not if you have your mindset of do better.
Yes, the Napa brand, there's a lot of pride in it. So building the steam to undertake a rebranding project took a lot of groundwork, and the support of my CEO, my colleagues, our membership, and of course, the data all really helped to do that. The priority that I had at Napa was we had a logo that everybody was proud of, but we lacked a brand system.
Ah, okay.
And you could see that even in our publications where we as the organization were unable to say, these are our brand guidelines in a clear, systematic, implementable way across all platforms. We lacked that.
Yeah.
And so that was a real opportunity, especially, of course, with the publication project as well. My number one priority was absolutely the brand system. But what was probably most fun for me, brand projects are always fun. It's not my first, probably won't be my last. I love working with great partners on that kind of stuff. What was most fun was bringing my colleagues along on that journey.
That's great. I'm sure if they're listening, they're going to love hearing that too.
Yeah, I hope so. I formed a little committee to be our focus group of not one, but several.
Yep. And you validated that with outside information and data too. So
exactly.
That's awesome. I love this. This is like textbook rebranding 101. And you know, another expression I always say is brand or be branded, because people will create their own impression of a brand, whether you ask them to or not. So you might as well control the narrative to the extent you can, rather than let the narrative control your brand. So
yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
And our members are so proud and trusting of Napa that I wanted them to have a brand to be proud of.
Absolutely.
Like they see it across the board. They see it at events. They see it in our publications. And the fantastic part that we got of marrying those two projects, the rebranding and the gap analysis data, was seeing the strength of the media brand and the opportunity to unify it.
Yeah.
And so we renamed all of our products and rebranded them all at the same time and launched with this amazing suite of interconnected products.
Yeah. Well, and I also love what you said, not just because your team will love it, but that you brought in a committee, because it's a daunting task to do a rebrand and it's a lot of work. So getting people to participate in it, it helps them be part of creating something exciting in the next generation. So that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about non-dues revenue, because part of strong member communications is the ability to drive non-dues revenue. And it's been an important piece of the puzzle as you evolved your communications program. So as we talked about, Napa has strong support. You have strong financial support from sponsors, advertisers, but how have you made sure along the way that segment in particular of your audience feels listened to and continues to see the value in what Napa is offering?
It's a great question, because serving different types of members through the same publications and the same channels, they have different needs. So recognizing those needs. So thank you for the great question and recognizing that difference. And of course, what it then means back to the association, that right. Non-dues revenue. We have the most incredible advertisers and supporters among our membership. Their go-to question is, how can I help? How can I contribute? So I recognize that Napa's privileged in that area. It was further validated our advertising options and opportunities through the gap analysis that more than 80% of advertisers expressed that they were highly regarded. So with the launch of our new platforms and renaming and rebranding, it was an opportunity to bring them into the fold. They actually got to learn about some of the new stuff because of sales cycles and all of that before the general NAPA membership.
That's great.
They got some sort of back-end education. Shout out to our sales rep, Paul Wally, who worked with me and our account manager, Marbella Miller, so closely to get all of that in place and packaged in a way that our advertisers and members could take it and run. So I'm actually excited to be talking to you today of all days. We just secured our first sponsored content for our new microsite, napanow.org.
Oh, awesome. Amazing. I love it. Yay.
That's, yes.
you're getting it validated from your first sponsorship. So that's amazing. You kind of led me into my next segue, which is there's a lot of big picture strategic work that you do, but then it's all about the details. And you describe yourself as someone who advocates for writing in plain language and proofreading every email. So why do you feel bringing that level of precision matters even in your day-to-day tasks? Let's talk about the details as well as the strategy.
I don't know if it's a point of pride or not that I'm some form of recovering perfectionist.
I love it.
But that is where it comes from. And I think on some extent, I have to blame my mother. Her mantra to me growing up was, don't sweat the small stuff. And then once I was grown up, she gave me a book that said, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I like your mother.
She's reading right through me at that moment. But that is how I approach things. I have a teenager. Do you have teenagers?
Mine are since grown, Bill. I'm a little older, but yeah.
They probably still speak a different language than
me. Oh, absolutely.
Just the other day, my teen texted me, we about ready to slide. And I knew what he meant, but it still jarred my thinking for a second.
Yeah.
My brain had to react to that. And I use that example because, you know, the kids slang these days. Yeah. We all had ours in our teenage years, but the intergenerational or out of context use, it gave me pause for a second. And I think that's the same thing that we're trying to do by using plain language is remove the pause.
Yeah, I like that. You know, because when you were starting to say, do you have teenagers and your children probably talk differently? And I was about to say, we don't even talk. It's all text.
Exactly.
It's half the time we have to interpret it. Like, what does this mean? Or what do these three letters mean? What does this emoji mean? Like, I have no idea. So half the time I'm like, what are you trying to tell me? Because I have no idea.
Yeah. So I even have to proofread my text. If I don't, then sure enough, as soon as I hit send, it's the wrong word, which can changes the whole meaning. And my teenager is going to say, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. They look at us like we're the crazy ones.
It's totally.
Like, oh, yeah. So I get it. So it's the simplicity of basic language to make sure what you're articulating is received in the right context and in the right tone.
Absolutely. And in our world, this publications world, unless it's part of our style, part of our brand, we're eliminating what's extraneous to really drive the message, make our point, make it clear, not make it boring. Things can still be fun and colorful, but very clear. So a hat tip to Leslie O'Flahaven for teaching me all about plain language.
I like it. It certainly would make life much simpler if we all understood that. But another thing I learned about you through Sarah's conversations is that you're a proponent of Japanese business philosophy called Kaizen. And I want you to tell us a little bit about that. Now, the perfectionist thing makes sense because I don't know if you knew that Lexus's, which is a Japanese company, their slogan is the relentless pursuit of perfection. So now it's all starting to make sense.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get to know who you really are.
all the dirty secrets.
All come out in a podcast. Yeah. Spill the tea.
Well, let me say first and foremost, I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a practiced in the art of Kaizen, but it's, I feel like the word and the meaning of the word has so much energy that I want to, in essence, breathe in that energy. Because it basically means continuous improvement. But when you say that, how boring is that?
Better to make it fancy like it's Kaizen.
So to bring it full circle, when I was on staff of the high school yearbook, and it would come back, and I would be the one who spotted the errors. And I would bring everybody down because I spotted the errors. Can't you just celebrate? We got it published.
Exactly.
To where today, recognizing there is room for growth. I don't have to pretend to be that perfectionist anymore. Just there's room for growth. There's always opportunity to improve. No matter what our starting line is, always opportunity to improve.
Well, and that does tie really nicely into the tagline I was saying. So that does have to be a little bit of the Japanese culture, because it's like the relentless pursuit means you can always do more because you're always pursuing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a destination, but rather a destiny and a journey.
That exactly. I wish I remember where I first learned about that. I know it's highly associated with Toyota's management philosophy. We may have studied it some in my strategic communications and leadership master's coursework, but I go and look for it every once in a while. Like, who's doing something in that vein now?
Yeah.
I wish I had the brain capacity, the intellect to embrace it even more, but I will take the little nugget that I can get and apply it to our publications, to my team, to Napa.
Yeah. And you know what? You gave me something to think about. So I'm definitely going to do some research so we can compare notes when we see each other at the ASAE annual meeting of what we're learning these days. But I would love for you to share with our guest a recommendation on a book that either they can continue to learn about what you're talking about or something fun, whatever you fancy.
Well, I think this one would be really appropriate for our audience. If they've read it, maybe they haven't read the second edition or they haven't read it lately. I think it's definitely a return to book. I'm an audiobook guy, so it's available by audiobook and it's very engaging. It is, drumroll please.
Drumroll.
Everybody Writes by Anne Hanley.
I've heard of that, but I've not read it. And I want to read it, especially after this conversation.
It's definitely a must read. It's an easy read, but so insightful with practical takeaways.
Yeah. Now we could probably do a third version, which is Everybody Writes with AI.
Yes.
That's coming.
The second edition is came out in 2022. So yes, I think she's probably working on third edition.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I certainly learned a lot and you shared some really valuable insights on both strategy, details, data that all associations I think can learn from. So thank you for being willing to share your example. And I'm so thrilled to learn the outcome for Napa and the positive response. And we're celebrating today on your first sponsorship. So all amazing things. So Bill, if anyone in our listenership wants to get in touch with you, how can they connect with you?
Best way to find me is on LinkedIn, Bill Rowan, or on Napa's website, asphaltpavement.org.
Awesome. Well, again, I can't thank you enough for your time and spending this episode with me, and excited to get this out so people can learn.
It's been great to see you and talk with you, Christine.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at Christine, christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.